just as you get to the end of Hebrews 11, after there's like a gazillion different things that people have inherited by faith. So it will say things like, by faith, people receive the dead back to life. It then says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I felt that there are things that the Lord has prepared for us that we need to take up by faith, but to take it up by faith, we need to also let things go. We need to let go of the weight of sin and any other weight that ensnares us and pick up faith instead.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. So we have the privilege of having Russell Fraser here this evening.
Yeah. Woohoo!
And he's got an amazing word to share with us today. So we just want to welcome you, Russell. Lord, we just pray that you will be on Russell this evening, Lord, and that you will speak through him, Lord, that we will hear your heart through Russell's heart. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. Time check and a notes check. Yeah, it was really wonderful just to be here this afternoon worshiping the Lord together. There's such unity when we all come together in His name. We're here to lift up His name. Our whole purpose of our lives is to serve Jesus and to point towards Him and to bring others into the kingdom. I'm trusting this afternoon that you hold up a bit of vision for where we're going as a church and God's people in general, and also for you individually. What has God got for you, and where do you fit into God's plans and purposes? And also I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will come and touch people tonight and fill them, maybe for the first time, and I'm going to try and use scripture and explain what I mean by that, or possibly some refreshing in Him, because we cannot do this without the Holy Spirit working in and through us, eh? So Jenny and I, we been married for 1982, 44 years, we got married. I said to her, Jenny, the word divorce does not enter our vocabulary. We do not use it in the heat of battle. That's not what God wants for us. We're going to fight our way through every situation, and we have not always fought, not with each other, but the situation, and. Yeah, we've got three amazing sons. One is 43, and he's got two girls here in Cape Town, 10 and 12, and he's been married since he was 21, since 2004. He's a businessman. And our middle son is 40, and he lives in Kwabeaga, PE, for the old school. And they just had a daughter a month ago, and they came to see us last week. We met her for the first time. They had no water or electricity in PE, so they came to Cape Town. We charged extra for that. And he's been a game ranger most of his life. And our youngest son had a little boy, and he was wafted. She's Russian, the wife, and the little boy is now Dutch because they're Dutch citizens. And so we haven't met him yet. We're hoping to meet him next month. He was born in December. That's a bit of our background. Jenny and I, we've been saved forever. More than 40 years plus, and been in leadership, not always full-time, but since 1981. I was made a deacon and a youth group leader, and Jenny was also, so I met Jenny in the church there, and we went into full-time ministry in 2001. We met Andrew. We were transferred to the Cape. I was a business guy, worked in a factory as a factory manager for Total, the French petroleum company, the chemical division, and we came to Cape Town in the end of 97, and we met Andrew in January 99, and there were 15 people. And that night, Andrew stood up in his house and he said, this is the first official meeting of Josh Jen. It was the last Sunday of January 99. So we started our 28th year as a church. We got a lot of people now. And the Lord's just been adding. And our biggest problem right now actually is leadership. We don't have enough leaders. And, you know, any money that comes into the church mostly goes on just trying to employ people to shepherd God's people. Because we like to believe we're a highly pastoral model of church. We don't just pop up on a Sunday, do a quick preach, sermon, and disappear. We like to be hands-on, knowing the sheep, knowing about their lives, and doing life together. And that's the model that we've tried to build, Acts 2:42, which is we try to look at that and say, what does the Bible say about building church? Josh Jen is, we're not trying to build a brand called Josh Jen or 412, the apostolic field partnership. That's just an identifying name. We're not here to lift up Josh Jen or lift up 412. We're here to lift up Jesus. And we've got no special revelation that any other church hasn't got. We're not special. We just want to follow the scripture in building God's church. We join hands with any church across the world who believes it needs to be born again. You need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Does that make sense? I just want to undo some thoughts that some people may have about what does this church think? We're not God's A plan. We're all God's A plan. All the born-again churches worldwide is God's A plan to reach the lost, to glorify Him with their lives, and to show what His body should look like. Jesus is the head. Andrew's not Superman, Andrew Selly. He's an ordinary saint with a leadership gift. That's all he is. He's got no special qualities or attributes. He's just a servant of the Lord Jesus. He's in submission like any other person in the church. He can be corrected, rebuked like any other person in the church. Does that make sense? And we're trying to build healthy churches because healthy churches grow. We had 3,500 responses to the gospel last year. Man, that's beautiful. When someone comes into the kingdom, that's beautiful. And they come to know Jesus, that's beautiful. We should celebrate. And that's what the purpose of your life is all about, is to glorify Him with your life and to reach the lost and to love one another, the three legs of the church. But we have got some exciting news, but I want to lay a bit of a foundation, if I may, in terms of scripture. And if we read Acts chapter 1, I'm using the old NIV, that's all I've ever really known. So Jenny, just tell me if I'm reading the right stuff, because sometimes what I'm reading here doesn't always match there, and then it confuses everybody. So let's hope it's all the same, should be. And says, in my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day He was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen. After His suffering, He presented Himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father has promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They gathered around Him and asked Him, Lord, are You this time going to restore the kingdom in Israel? They're still thinking very physical. They're longing for the old Israel, the kingdom of Israel, which God had called out as His people. He looked after them. He anointed them. He worked through them. He demonstrated Himself through the Israelites. But now God was doing the new covenant and making a new plan that we'd all be grafted in to Jesus, the root. What did I say? Do not leave. Have I finished? That's it, right. Then they gathered around Him and asked Him, Lord, are You this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? So still thinking very worldly, they hadn't quite grasped what the kingdom of God was all about. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. That's an amazing encouragement he gave them. And obviously they didn't fully understand even what he had said at that moment, which they were about to experience a bit later when they gathered and the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. And Jerusalem is in northern Judea, and Samaria is just north of Judea. And today people would refer to it as the West Bank, which the Israelis got back in 1967, the Six-Day War, and is now part of Israel. And that's his territory. So he was saying, in Jerusalem, go and reach Jerusalem. Tell them about me. Then go to Judea, the next province, and then go even further to Samaria, and then go in to the ends of the earth. And that instruction is flowed down to us over the 2,000 years. And it's still something that sits with us today, that we are called as God's people to go. We should never, ever find a church that suits our needs by comfort, by preference. What can this church do for me? Now, you may be in a place where you're needing healing. You may have things that may have gone wrong in your life. You might have had things that gone wrong in terms of relationships, a number of things. And you may just need a hospital for that phase of your life. We can understand that. We can't send a broken person out to go into all the world. But for most of us, I would imagine that we've been serving the Lord. I don't know how long people have been serving the Lord. Maybe there's some who haven't actually had an encounter with God and actually given their hearts. And maybe I'm trusting we'll have a time for that during this afternoon. But for God is wanting to position us continuously in a place where he can use us. When we were transferred to Cape Town, believe it or not, we didn't really want to stay here. We wanted to go back to Durban where we came from. Most of you Cape Townians don't even know where Durban is. It's up the East Coast somewhere. Because that's where family was. That's where our church was. I got born again to that church for 18, 19 years. I'd had all my family, my spiritual family, my biological family were all there. And actually, Durban is a good place. It's very pretty. Don't leave politics out of it for a moment. Leave politics out of everything for a moment. So I didn't really want to be in the Cape. Actually, I've got a letter from Total, the French petroleum company. I still got that letter. They said, we send you to Cape Town for a year and a half. So we only came down here for a year and a half. And then we sent into Europe for 2 years, all the factories, and then we want you to come back to Durban and take over national manufacturing. I've still got that letter in my office. And we thought, that's quite cool. Went to the elders up in Durban about it. What do you guys say? Is this what God wants? They felt, yes, I think this is of the Lord. Off you go. And God's got his ways of moving us around. Not always the way we think it should be or how it should be. And then we met Andrew, and then suddenly career path didn't look that interesting anymore. Not Andrew himself, but he was like a hippie when I met him. He had long hair, and he always talks about our first encounter. We just heard about this guy. We were trying to find a church that we had known from the church movement up in Durban, and we were struggling to find a church. And we met Andrew. All these guys had long hair and all surfers, called each other Brew. And Andrew says, you know, I arrived on my E-Class Mercedes. I was a business guy, I had 3 children. I think I was the only guy who had a job. And said, Jenny, don't make eye contact. Just back away slowly to the car. Dry humor. But God had a plan. He said, I've got you here for a purpose. And our hearts connect. When Andrew spoke, God's given the ability to articulate what a lot of people are feeling inside. They can't put into words. And Andrew's been given a gift of articulation, which means he'll speak well and formulate understanding of God, which makes it easy for people to understand and grasp. And we just felt a connection in our hearts. Out of the Lord, we would never have crossed the street to even shake hands. But in the Lord, God said, I put you with this guy and walk with him and be there for... And so the career path suddenly changed when I had an opportunity to go full-time. I think I was part-time held for about 3 years in the marketplace. And we felt this was of God. And we want to be in God's perfect plan all the time. The family was saying, come back to Durban. You know, there's churches here as well, you know. And we just felt God wanted us here. It was a sacrifice at the time to not be back with our family. And And this is where God put us. And we've only been in two churches in 45 years, one in Durban and one in Cape Town, with one little story which I haven't got time to tell today. But basically, I want to be faithful to where God's put me. I want to be available to where God's put me. And then beginning of 2011, Brett, who leads the afternoon congregation here in Pinehurst, he was in eldership with me in Sunnydale PM, and we were having a great time there. I was leading that congregation, and Brett asked to come across. I want him to take over from me one day. And then Andrew phoned me one day and said, "Can you go to Durbanville? We've got a bit of a situation there that Richard Gordon, who leads Somerset West now, he had brought a congregation into Durbanville, and it wasn't going that well. Andrew says, you can pray about it, but would you consider?" I said, "I don't have to pray about it. If you want me to go, I'll go there." It wasn't convenient. I wasn't really having a great time in Sunnydale with the guys. They built a lovely team. So I came to Durbanville, and we met in the Kinderhuis, the children's home, in 2011. And it was wonderful getting to know the guys. And who were there? Who was there back in those days? Any hands? A couple of guys. Oh, still some faithful guys. There we go. And other faithful ones we've sent out. And but I don't know if the guys can remember. It was so squashed in there. We had, I think, about 120 adults. And the toilet was inside the hall. If you go to the toilet, everybody could watch you go. And it was like a little dry wall thing, you know, so nobody wanted to go to the toilet. Minister says, "Minister, we closed the meeting." Everybody was out. But we just realized, hey, this is not working. And then the Lord opened up another venue for us in Stellenberg High School. We were there for nearly 10 years. And a Greg who led worship, they came and joined us during that time, Greg and Marie and their kids. And we seemed to grow from like 100 and something to over 300 adults quite within a few years. And we had to send communities out every week to make space in the hall. So we supported Richard, and this is a bit of the journey that we've been on. And then we got the opportunity to buy this land, and then we fought hard. It took us years to get this land. So in us, there's always a dream of at least 5 congregations in the greater Durbanville area. It's a big area. It's over 100,000 people, maybe more. And our dream was that we would get all over this area and really reach it for Jesus. Because you know what the statistics tell us? The Bond Institute, which is part of John Piper's church in America, they do a lot of studies and things. And they studied in America. Most people in America would say, "I'm a Christian." But they narrowed it down to how many churches are actually born again, as opposed to just a cultural Christian. Someone who just grows up thinking they were born a Christian. And this is, I've got Christian, I'm a Christian because I'm not in another religion, you know. And they found only 5% of Americans were born again. So there's a massive amount of work in America to do. And so then I thought, well, what about Durbanville? So I know all the churches in the area, and I counted them all up, and I know roughly how many people in the churches. And I realized we're about the same. We've got about 5% who are born again, who know Jesus as Lord and Savior. A lot of cultural Christianity, like I was, I think, sort of, before I got saved. A bit of my testimony, and Jenny as well, we grew up in an unchurched families. We didn't ever go to church, maybe Christmas Day when we were kids. And we just assumed part of our culture was that we were Christians. We didn't really think about it. Everyone goes to heaven. It's just a given. And then I had an encounter with Jesus when I was 20, in the church that Jenny was going, and she was part of a plant of this little church. And it was crazy. Those were incredible times. Like revival, like that movie that came out in America, in Newport, the Jesus Revolution. Same thing was happening. A mirror situation was happening here in South Africa. People were getting saved or left, right, and center. It was a phenomenal time to see the churches growing, coming out of denominations and rigid church. And a friend of mine was chasing after a girl in the church that Jenny was going to. He said, "You got to come see this church." Like, they raised their hands, they got guitars, and you know, it's like hectic, man. So I went along. And I realized these guys have got something. I don't know what it is. I was having a great life. A brand new motorbike, brand new car. Life was great. I wasn't looking for God. There's no hunger for God or destiny. I need God. But I went there and just realized I got, like the Bible says, they'll get convicted in your presence. I was just convicted. I wouldn't understand if you know the altar calls we give today, who wants to give their life to Jesus? The Bible says that you're all sinners. The Bible says we're born sinners and we need to get born again. I wouldn't have understood any of that if they'd preached it at me, but I just knew there was something missing. And I can remember going down on my knees, and I like this, while they were worshiping and saying, Lord, come into my heart. Now people say, Jesus, you can't, there's no such prayer like that in the Bible. Man, I don't care. Come to Jesus however you want to come to him. As long as you're truly born again, your spirit is renewed. You understand eventually when people teach you that you are a sinner, that you need to get born again. You need a Lord. You need a Savior. I understood that later, but at the time I just knew there's something missing. I needed Jesus in my heart. And my life changed dramatically overnight as I made that decision. Dramatically. Jesus, I went from day to night, or night to day rather, and it was just like a total turnaround. I tried to get drunk the day after I got saved, and I got sick, and that was the end of my drinking career. And the Bible doesn't say you can't drink, it says you mustn't get drunk. But there was a massive shift in me, like language, there was an inner conviction of the spirit renewed inside of me. And then later, actually I was going to do this a bit later in the message, but I was in the Defence Force at the time, and I was transferred to Pretoria, and I went to a church then. I was born again. My life was all turned upside down, and the month later I go to this church, in the Defence Force up to Pretoria, and a friend takes me to this church called Hatfield Baptist Church, and there they talk about being baptised in the Holy Spirit. I didn't have a clue what that was. I didn't know what an elder was, a deacon, or tithing, or speaking in tongues. I thought they were just people from another country speaking in their home language. They were just praying, you know. Oh, great, nice to have you. But so I didn't know what tongues was. And so I went into this room. They said they're doing a teaching on it. Come and sit here. And so there were about 10 of us in this room, and they taught. I don't know what they said, but they taught. And then they said, who wants to be prayed for? An older lady than me at that time. I was still young. And she came and they prayed. Nothing happened. I said, okay. They said, who else? I said, yeah, me. Pray. So I sat down in this chair, and they prayed, and the room lit up. It felt like the sun had moved into the room. It was so bright. I just felt this warm honey all over me. I just felt God all over me. I was starting to speak in this language. I didn't know what I was starting to just talk and speak in tongues. I didn't know what it was. I wouldn't have been a teacher to tell anyone about it. But God just filled me with the Spirit, and it felt like a turbocharger moment, like from being saved, filled with the Spirit, and I mean, my spirit being renewed, and then getting actually an infilling of the Spirit, like I've been baptized in the Spirit, which is the word baptizo, is to immerse. I was immersed in the Holy Spirit, and I've been praying in tongues ever since then, and it's a total life transformation. And I think there may be some folk here. I know the church at the moment is going through quite a strong cessationist re-emergence. What that means is a whole group of guys who've suddenly, because of all the charismatic, high-profile failures in America specifically, moral failures and things like that, a lot of guys say, look at the charismatics. They're weird. They're crazy. And the charismatics, we've done some strange things, eh? I've seen the church go through the Word of Faith movement, the Hyper Faith movement. We saw the church go through what they call the Toronto Blessing, where people were acting strange. I mean, I'm a conservative person. I don't like this chickens clucking on the floor and laughing. And where's this in the Bible? You know, where's this in Scripture? So we had to go through years of all that and seeing God. I mean, I was doing deliverances virtually every week, because there's so much power and manifestations of the demonic. So I don't know. I still don't know what really happened in the 90s with all that. But it happened. And so the cessationists believe the gifts stopped. When the word came, the perfect comes, then we don't need the Holy Spirit like we do. They still believe in the Holy Spirit. They won't deny that. But they won't believe in prophetic words and any prophecy and gifts of the Spirit like that. And so these are things that God has distributed. We'll look at it in a moment. But God wants to use, He wants to stir us up this afternoon in terms of the Holy Spirit coming on us afresh. That there's a stirring in our hearts. You can't manufacture faith. You can choose faith. You know, you have little faith. Jesus sometimes rebuked them because of their faith and unbelief. And so faith, God gives faith. And so we can ask. The disciples even said, Lord, help us increase our faith. So there can be a stirring of faith and an expectation of what God wants to do in us, through us as a people of God. We planted Durbanville PM, which Ryan was leading up to now, still is leading semi, about in 2016. Ants came along for from Brackenfell. Ants, where are you? I saw you earlier. Oh, right there. Ants came along how many years ago? 8 years ago, and said he wants to join with us. I'm just doing the short version. And we had a church in Brackenfell, and we lost that venue. Then Ants started leading Central and center of Cape Town. Have I covered all? And then we started the Pinehurst PM one here as well, which was Brackenfell, actually. They moved across the road, yeah. So we had a lot of movements. As you know, we lost two venues in December, and Central and Aurora. And so God is showing us right now to expand back into certain areas. And we've got some wonderful openings that's taken place in terms of venues. And this is where you guys come in, because God has assembled an army, a family, and he wants us to go and to touch lives in our area. I'm trusting this afternoon that you get a vision that the Lord wants to use you in whatever form you're at. There's no experts down the front here. There's no professionals. We're all in this together. Every single one of you, your life counts for Jesus. Every single one of you. There's no some guys, okay, I'll just sit over here. It's the deacons and the elders, and maybe the home group leaders, the comm leaders, the worship guys, sure, the kids' church here, but I'm just a passenger. I'm just here. That's not how the body works. The Bible says we're a body. Every single part should play its part, it says in Scripture. So I want to stir you up this afternoon that, hey, I can play a part in what God wants to do. And so we've been able to secure two amazing venues, one just a few days ago, and the other one a few weeks, maybe months ago. Have you got that picture? We are dominating Brackenfell Boulevard Road. Because if you go down the road, you'll come to the one we've just got now, the Engier Brackenfell Church. Are we at the bottom? We're at the top. Okay, right now we're at the top. So if you go down, you cross over the N1, you'll find Brackenfell Engier Church. It's a lovely building. They haven't got pews, they've got just normal chairs. It's a very nice building. It can take up to 300 people, and it's got lovely facilities. It really is a nice building. And then we've got one even further down in Kales River, Micro School. Also a very nice venue, also about 300 people, the hall and kids facilities, etc. So they're both very, very nice venues. But we want to go back into those areas. And we did get a prophetic word from Deborah, who came and shared earlier, that this will be a time, correct me that this will be a time of coming together and then a planting out and ascending. Does that summarize it well enough? So we've been through a season of coming together, three congregations, but we feel it's time for us to plant back out into these different areas and to really get in amongst the neighborhoods and be there for the folk and to live in amongst the different areas. So Ryan and Tracy are going to go to Brackenfell. And Ants and Lee are going to go to Micro. And Brett, it will remain here. So we're going to reboot even the leadership teams. It's not the whole eldership team who was with Ryan does not mean they're going to all go to Brackenfell. And likewise with Ants. We're keeping it fairly open. It may end up like that, but we're giving everybody opportunities to go before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because we can... And where do you want me? So we want to give folks opportunity to go before the Lord and say, Lord, where would you like me to go? Stay, go, be, and come and talk to the elders, discuss it with them. We won't force anyone to go anywhere. The older folk we may strategically put some of the leaders in different places, but we just, at the moment, everything's sort of a blank sheet. Even the eldership here in Pinehurst, even that, and even in the morning, the Durbanville AM morning with Kevin, even those elders are also opening up their hearts and where does God want me to go? And the congregation as well. So we've got four congregations that are potentially could move around and reform in different areas to reach those areas effectively. Does that make sense? This is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to count for the Lord. It's just a fresh opportunity to get back into those areas and to touch them. And we're given some dates up until the 22nd of February. if guys can come back to us. Anyone who's considering change, let us know before the 22nd of Feb. And then we want to plant on the 8th of March, those two congregations. So it's a very exciting time, hey? And when, let's read in Acts 2, verse 1. But when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Happened to a friend of mine. He asked once for the Lord to fill him with the Spirit, and he started speaking in Zulu. And he could reach, God used him to reach Zulu people. Instant language. As the Spirit enabled them, now there was, I read that. Aren't these all speaking? Yes. Then how is it each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you, listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken about by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Folks, this is available to us today. God wants to pour out his spirit. It says they're prophesied by Joel. And we can read in Acts chapter 19. Acts 19, verse 1. Is it coming out, Jenny? Is it coming out the same? No, what I'm reading. A little bit different. Close enough. 98%. 98.5. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Do you believe that? It's in the Word. It happened post-Jesus, post-ascension. These are gifts that are given to us as we lay hands on people who are desirous of the Holy Spirit. They will be filled. And I know not everybody prays in tongues the first time. I don't know why that is. But I've met so many people who I've prayed for who didn't. They started forming scripture around the reason, the fact that they didn't speak in tongues. Mark Davies was one. When we came to Josh Jenny, for years he justified why he couldn't pray in tongues or speak in tongues. So another scripture that says I don't have to. And he formed scripture, and he's a very bright teacher, until one day he spoke in tongues. A good friend of mine leads a church up in Windhoek. He went to a well-known seminary to be trained as a pastor, and the professor told him the gifts are over. There's no more being filled with the Holy Spirit like that in the Bible. There's no more prophesying, no more speaking in tongues. The professor then goes on an archaeological dig in the Middle East, which means they're digging for old things, and he passes out in the heat. So they couldn't find anywhere to put him except like a hole in the side of the ground. So they slipped him in there, and any shade they could find. And while he's there, he has an encounter with God, and he starts speaking in tongues. He comes out, he comes back to the seminary, and says, "Guys, I got it wrong. I'm speaking in tongues. I didn't ask for it. God filled me. I'm speaking in tongues." I prayed for a cessationist once here in Cape Town when I was still based in Durban. And he said, "No, I don't believe in that." I said, "Can we pray for you?" And he said, "Okay." We prayed for him, and the next thing, he was speaking in tongues. He panicked. He said, no. His mind was so indoctrinated against it that he ran out the building. This can't be God. And he was upset. I'm not exaggerating when I say his life virtually crashed after that by rejecting what God had done in him and given him. Not just about speaking in tongues, it's about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus actually breathed on the disciples, be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, according to David Paulson, we never pray to him. He's part of the Trinity. The majority of prayers are addressed to the Father in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says through the Holy Spirit. You can AI it if you want right now. I did. I checked on Paulson. There's no scripture that I couldn't even find one. It says that you pray any prayers to the Holy Spirit. Jesus even said, this is how you pray, our Father in heaven. So Jesus connects us to the Father. He's the Redeemer. He came to bring mankind back to the Father. And then he said, stay here, wait, I'm going to send you one, the Holy Spirit. He will remind you of all that I've commanded you and taught you. He will remind you. So as we do this life, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he guides us in all truth, all the time. He's with us. Wherever you set your foot as a believer, you are filled with you're born again, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people get filled at new birth. When they come forward, or they don't have to come forward, it could happen anywhere where they actually get born again. They get filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment. There's no sort of formula to this. But we do see aspects of where God does, through the laying on of hands, I've seen a lot of it. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people prayed for and been filled with the Holy Spirit, and their lives kicking into another gear. God is generous. He desires. He gives good gifts to us. He's a good Father. He's a good Father. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, unless I go, the Holy Spirit will not come. He can't. But when I go, I'll send him to you. And the Holy Spirit is here on this earth. Wherever you go as a believer, the Holy Spirit goes inside of you. And it's a powerful understanding to believe that the Holy Spirit is with you wherever you go. So I'd love to pray for us right now. And if you're hungry for the Lord, there must be no pressure to speak in tongues. Okay, that's not the objective, to speak in tongues. That just happens as you're enabled. And we can't force you to do it. We can't stand next to you and say all weird things to get you to pray in tongues. For me, it just happened. But it does require this, though. Open your mouth and just praise him. God stands with mouth closed. I mean, you're not going to say much if your mouth is closed. So open your mouth, and I just encourage people when we pray for them to start thanking him for the Holy Spirit, that he came as a gift to us. And he just distributed gifts amongst us. And I believe as we go here and we go into these different places and we touch these different areas, God's going to use us powerfully. He's a God of power, not just mere words, power. The word is power. The Spirit is power. Dunamos, I will give you, you will have power to be my witnesses. Go and be witnesses out there. In the workplace, in December, I had the guy come to fix my gas heater thing. He spent 15 minutes fixing it and an hour and a half telling him about Jesus. I was prepared to pay for 2 hours, 10 hours. I'm quite happy to get him. He's just poured out his life. A man came to buy a pool slide. He's from another religion, well-known religion here in Cape Town. He's a doctor. And he came to buy my pool slide, which we don't use anymore. I started telling him my testimony about Jesus. Every time I encounter people everywhere, I want to tell them about Jesus. I just start telling my testimony. It's so powerful. Man, I just know God. And can I pray for you? Sometimes it's praying for people. I'm probably going to get in trouble for preaching too long now, but I'm not going to overtime. But I think it's a key moment for us. One of my famous stories, and I'll finish with this. Many years ago, when I was still in Durban, I had a business for 7 years, my own business. And one of my customers went for a small operation. Like, you know, one of these ones you just go for the one night or whatever. I went to go and see him in hospital. And he said, "Why are you here?" I said, "I'm just going to pray for you. How are you doing?" He was quite, that just opened his heart to me. That I showed some caring. He's a business guy. We just do business together. So he started coming and hanging out at my business, just talking, opening up his life. Eventually I said to him, "Why don't you come with me to church?" He said, "Okay, you can pick me up. There's a meeting like this Sunday afternoon." So I pick him up. In Durban, you don't get many Afrikaans people. But he was Afrikaans. And he was a big Afrikaans. He said, "Listen here, I'm Afrikaans. I hope this is not one of those happy, clappy churches." I said, "Yeah, it could be." And you get there, and you know it's like when you bring someone to church, you sit at the back. You don't want to make the guy, he's not going to sit in the front. He'll sit at the back, and he folded. And that night, the worship leader goes crazy. He runs up and down playing the flute. I'm thinking, this is going bad. This is so. You're suddenly aware how crazy we can be sometimes. And then the elder invites some new folk to come stand in the front of the church. He says to me, "I can never go to the front of a church like that. Oh, this is a waste of a time. Let's just hurry up, get this meeting over with." And at the end of the evening like this, who wants to give your life to Jesus? The guy gets up and he goes to the front, all on his own. "So what are you doing?" And he gets thoroughly born again and saved. Witnessing to other people after that. Sharing the good news of Jesus. A few years later, he got shot and killed in an armed robbery in his business. Guys walked in and just shot him. He's with the Lord now. That's witnessing. That's what it's all about. Our job is just to tell people about Jesus. Tell them what he's done in your life. Don't pressure them. Get the Bible. Hit them on the head. These days, your phone. But just tell them about Jesus in your own life. Man, God is good, man. You know, just get people up. Talk, listen to other people share about the good news of Jesus. We've got good news to share. Good, not bad news. This is great news. You can have a relationship with Jesus. You can know him as your personal savior. So right now, should we look at two groups of people? Who are those who don't know Jesus? The Jesus I'm talking about tonight, you don't know him as your Lord and your savior. You know about him, but you don't know him. If you were to die tonight, you would not be certain that you would be his. Because we know this, Matthew 7, there were many come to him that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and do this in your name?" He said, "Get away, I never knew you. You may think you know me, but I don't know you." So if you're not certain tonight that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to be bold and brave and to, like my friend Sean van Lachenberg, say, "Lord, I want you. I want you in my life." If there's anyone like that right now tonight, please put your hand up so we can pray for you and tell you about this Jesus. Anyone here? This young man here. Thank you. And at the back there. Thank you. This is a key moment, folks. Do you know what this means when just one person gives their life to Jesus? If I can ask the leaders just to go and do, if you don't mind, ask us to come and share with you. Is that all right? Or do you want to come stand here with me? Eh? Do you want to be like my mate, Sean? A lady, do you want to come stand? A young man? Thank you. Come. Okay. I've got one of those. Get some leaders, come stand here, guys.